This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
There's not really a lot to talk about with what's going on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so most of the discussion is about what's happening off of it, what is going to happen off of it in the offseason, right? With a lot of free agents pending for this Chiefs team, draft opportunities at their disposal right now. They're looking at a potential top 10 pick in this April's draft. And earlier today, we had a chance to catch up with Jordan Foote. He is a Chiefs writer for Heavy Sports. He's written for Sports Illustrated and many other publications. Does a great job of covering the team and has for many, many years. And that's sort of where the conversation took us, is this Chiefs team is looking to do a lot this offseason because they certainly have a lot of holes on the roster.
Yeah, no doubt. Anytime you get, 9 or 10 first downs on that Christmas Day game, there's just not too much to talk about. And given the Raiders' experience over the weekend and how much they need that number one pick, I think we're going to see a generational tank-off type battle to close out the season. But the Chiefs, they're locked into what's going to be, if you're a Chiefs fan, hopefully the best pick, or I guess worst pick, depending on how you want to look at it, of the Patrick Mahomes era. You're anticipating them not getting a pick this high in the first round of the NFL draft for quite some time. They can do some damage with that, but also this team needs a little bit more than just one draft pick. They're going to have some key free agent decisions to make. There might be a trade that perhaps divides the fan base on Twitter. I know that everyone has been in off-season mode for a few weeks now, and everyone's kind of doing their mock off-season, mock draft, mock trade simulations, all of that good stuff. It's going to take a little bit to get this team back to where it was. Now, they do have the hard part figured out in the quarterback position, and I think that Patrick Mahomes will be just fine coming off the ACL, but you do want to do your best if you're the Chiefs to insulate the roster and make life a little bit easier for him next year.
So first thing I want to look at is the off season for this Chiefs team, the amount of guys who are on expiring contracts right now. As of now, SpotTrac has 27 guys for the Chiefs as potentially impending free agents. Now, a couple of those guys are exclusive rights free agents and restricted free agents, but there are a handful of guys that the Chiefs are going to have to make some pretty serious decisions about, right? Hollywood Brown and Charles Omenihu, namely guys like Brian Cook and Leo Chenal and Jalen Watson, even Isaiah Pacheco. How many, I mean, looking at the 27, and you probably don't have the list right out in front of you right now, I would assume, but of these 27 guys, how many can you justifiably anticipate the Kansas City Chiefs being able to retain for next year? And is that number going to be enough, in your opinion?
So in the upset of the century, I did cheat a little bit and pulled up the list and was looking at it right before I started with you. And it's kind of an unimpressive list. I do think that a lot of those guys, like the Jerry Tillery's, the Bob Tunyon's, the Mike Edwards's of the world, you can afford to lose. But also, there are some legitimate names on there. And I don't mean legitimate as in all of them are good, but legitimate in terms of the thought you're going to have to put into A, whether you bring the player back or not, and B, more importantly, what you do to replace them. Like, if a Brian Cook does leave, and I think you can feasibly bring him back, your safety room is going to have to get something together. And I think the version of Chimari Connor that we have a few years in here in Kansas City is no longer kind of the prospect that he once was. Leo Chanel, is it a Willie Gay Jr. situation where maybe you miss the spark he brings to the defense, but he's not an every down bona fide player? You have to weigh that. I think the big two, though, would be probably Cook and Jalen Watson. And I've seen a lot of trade Trent McDuffie talk on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it these days. That only makes sense if Jalen Watson's back in a Chiefs jersey. I don't think you can roll out Christian Fulton and Noel Williams and Chris Roland Wallace, whoever you want your nickel to be, and say, okay, well, that's our quarterback group, and Brian Cook is gone, and Trent McDuffie's gone, and hey, we got a first-round pick out of it. The secondary is sneaky important. I see a lot of running back talk, a lot of defensive line talk, some right tackle stuff, because even with guys who aren't free agents, like a Noah Gray, a Mike Dana, a Jawan Taylor, the Chiefs might have to make some tough decisions to free up the requisite cap space to navigate the offseason, and that's going to require Clark Hunt to also invest in some cash spending like he did this past offseason. So top three positions, or I guess groups of need, you're going to have to see what they do at running back, especially with Pacheco gone and Kareem Hunt getting a year older. Wide receiver has my eye, seeing what they do there. Defensive line as a whole, but really that secondary is kind of flying under the radar as a sneaky important thing, because A, there are so many possibilities and paths they can take, but B, it's a slippery slope if you don't pull the right levers over the next few months.
You mentioned Leo Chenal, and my producer today, Nathan Williams, was talking to me about this prior to the show, that, you know, he thinks that a cap casualty for the Chiefs this season may end up being Drew Tranquil, that you potentially allow him to go, you know, you give him an outright release or you trade him, and that gives you some cap availability to bring Leo Chenal back. What are your thoughts on that possibility? Do you think that's a benefit or a hindrance for the Chiefs?
I can see it happening because Tranquil is now on the wrong side of 30, I believe, and they're going to get only $1.5 million in dead money to part ways with him this offseason. You're saving $6 million against the cap, so could that $5 million or $5.5 million, whatever the number is, can that go towards directly extending Leo Chenal and saying, okay, let's get a 3-year, I don't know, $24 million deal done, something like maybe what they did with Mike Dana when he was extended. I think that's possible, but also Leo Chenal is extremely difficult to get a true read on his market. Like, he is a Willie Gay Jr. spark plug type player. I don't think that he's an every down linebacker. I don't think he's the same type of player as Drew Tranquil. Now, is that ruling out projecting him to be that? Absolutely not. I think that the athletic profile is there. He's fantastic downhill. The coverage grades are always good, regardless of the sample size. So I could see it. Now, I do think that if you lose Drew Tranquil, you're going to have to replace him with a different player. Is that going to be Jeffrey Bassett? Like, do they have that solution in-house? That's possible, but I kind of have a weird feeling that of all the cap casualties they have, Tranquil probably sneaks through and makes it back for one more year, but I'm not implying that that's definitely the right move to make.
So, I mean, you say he may not be one of the cap casualties. Who are some of the names that you see possibly being amongst those that are traded away or given their outright release to give this Chiefs team a little bit more flexibility when it comes to retaining other guys or possibly bringing in people via free agency?
Yeah, I think Jawan Taylor is the pretty obvious one, and extending him, I guess, could have a similar effect, but I just don't think that's going to happen. At this point, he would incur a $7.4 million dead cap charge, but they'd save $20 million. So he is the easy lever, quote unquote, easy to make something happen. Mike Dana, his days are probably numbered. I do think that the Noah Gray decision is interesting because when he signed that deal, most people were okay with it and said, okay, well, worst case, he could probably be a bottom five tight end one and get you by if Travis Kelce retires. Then he comes back and just the stats regressed. He didn't look nearly as athletic as he did, which wasn't elite to begin with. He regressed across the board. Now you're thinking, okay, well, maybe something has to happen there. Maybe they dip into not getting rid of George Karlaftis, but restructuring that contract they just did. Seeing what they can do with Chris Jones, you can only kick the can down the road so much. But looking across what they have, the easy button, quote-unquote, is to do something with Juwan Taylor, probably a cut. I don't think that he'd quite have enough of a trade market to make something happen. And then you kind of trickle down to Tranquil being possible, Mike Dana, I would say, being likely, Noah Gray being on the table. They have some moves, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to make restructures. You're going to have to revisit the table with Patrick Mahomes, and he already has some pretty crazy cap hits coming up. So I don't envy the job Brett Veach has to do, but also you're kind of paying the price for, my money, the best run in the history of the sport over the past 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, the Piper, you got to pay him eventually, right? And, you know, looking at the draft in April, you know, the mocks are out in full force right now, and that's to be expected with the season going the way that it has so far. Chiefs are holding on to the 9th pick as of this moment, and I'm curious from your perspective, who's the player, what's the position that you think the Chiefs should attack with the 9th overall pick? I am of the opinion that it should not and cannot be running back, but I'm curious if you agree or disagree with that.
I'm extremely infatuated by this. And the Falcons, of course, play the Rams tonight, and the Rams own that pick. So regardless of what happens, they're going to be getting a pretty premium one. The Falcons and Saints play next week, and I believe Cincinnati has Cleveland. So like the teams that the Chiefs are directly competing with don't exactly have crazy matchups to end the year. But even if they end at 9 or 10 or 11 or somehow, I think there's a very, very slim chance that they end up with 8. They're going to get their pick of a really impressive player. Now, the Jeremiah Love thing I get in a vacuum, but then every time you peel back a layer of that onion, it makes less and less sense. Like, I think your real solution is spending a little bit of money on a Rico Dowdle, Ken Walker. Maybe you go to the Breece Hall sweepstakes, and yes, you are paying more money up front, but you're getting a more proven commodity, and I think you're not relying on a rookie with that premium of a draft pick. So then you just go position by position. Is it Jordan Tyson from Arizona State at wide receiver, and you kind of look over some of those injury things? Is it Mekhi Lemon from USC, who I think is a kind of Chiefs-style player? Carnell Tate is the obvious one at that position, but just not sure he's going to be there. Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end from Oregon, has got a bleep ton of buzz just as a potential heir to Travis Kelce, successing him if he does retire. But I have my eyes on the defensive line, Logan, whether it's Peter Woods from Clemson, I'm really high on him. You go to the edge spot, Keldrick Falk from Auburn, I'm personally not too high on him. Reuben Bain seems to have the biggest range of outcomes. Some podcasts and analysts have him maybe as an early day two pick. Some people still think he's a top 5 to 10 guy. And then going to Patrick Mahomes' alma mater, David Bailey is a really fun prospect, and I think it's a good year to need a defensive lineman at the very top. The Chiefs just so happen to be pretty close to that range this year, and I do think that whether it's on the inside or the outside, you have to give Chris Jones some help and also maybe even plan for the eventual life without Chris Jones.
This is Jordan Foote. He is a writer for the Chiefs with Heavy Sports, formerly of Sports Illustrated. Jordan, appreciate you taking the time this morning, my man. As always, especially, you know, last minute getting a hold of you. Really enjoy talking.
Yep, have a great holiday, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Again, a big thank you to Jordan Foote from Heavy Sports joining us earlier today, talking about the offseason, because there's nothing to talk about on the field right now when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Outside of potentially, I lean towards likely it being the final time we see Travis Kelce on an NFL field in a Chiefs uniform, or frankly, any NFL uniform for that matter. I think it's very, very likely that he retires at season's end. We haven't had a chance to get to it yet today, so let's do it now. A little time for stock up, stock down. There's a lot to choose from. But I got to say, I kind of, you know, I had to narrow it down a little bit. I decided to go with my first stock up, Malik Willis. I mean, not from the standpoint of, I'm not saying like, oh, Malik Willis is all of a sudden going to be getting starting quarterback looks in the NFL, but I think Malik Willis is doing enough right now to give him another 2, 3, 4 years in this league as a backup. I mean, he looked really, really good against the Ravens. Now, it came in a losing effort, obviously, but I was incredibly impressed with the way that he carried himself for the Green Bay Packers against Baltimore earlier this, or yesterday, or shouldn't say yesterday, Saturday. 18 of 21, 288 in a touchdown. He looked really, really good. He handled himself well, not to mention the fact that he had 2 rushing touchdowns on 9 carries for 60 yards. I'm not saying that Malik Willis deserves looks as a starting quarterback in this league, but he's a guy who could become a long-term backup in this league, no question in my mind.
I think I get what you're saying. I think a backup, a career backup with maybe 1 or 2 years where he starts on a really bad team that's clearly not trying to win, like a Tyrod Taylor type career. Like, sure, I think he could have that. I think that's plenty feasible, especially considering his performance last week. I've got 2 stock ups, and they're both on the Chicago Bears. So I'm just going to generalize them and say the Bears' rookie offensive weapons get my stock up. The game against the Niners was fantastic. I mean, that was just back and forth. Like, I saw something on X, said it was the first game that's ever been tied at 7, 14, 21, 28, and 35.
Whoa.
I mean, it was one team scores, the other team answers. One team scores, the other team. It was just a great football game. Yeah, Luther Burden, 9 catches, 138 yards and a touchdown. Colston Loveland, 10 catches, 94 yards and a touchdown. Somewhere, Jay Binkley has his hand in a fist and he's yelling at the clouds about Luther Burden and the Chiefs passing up. Now, I'll take Josh Simmons. I'll take the franchise left tackle. But man, I can't believe the Bears came away with both of them in the same draft. So Luther Burden and Colston Loveland get my stock up.
The other stock up that I have is Zach Charbonnet. I mean, he's been a reliable back in this league for a couple of years now. This is his 3rd year in the league, and he's done good things when he's been out there on the field. It's just been very limited, right? And that's due to Kenneth Walker being there and him being the starter and Charbonnet being the backup. But I think yesterday, really, for the first time this season, has solidified what I think we all have been kind of feeling, and that is that the Seahawks have a guy that they can lean on and let Kenneth Walker walk. I know, yeah, pun intended, unintended, whatever.
Definitely, I mean, intended. That's okay.
Fair. 18 for 110 and 2 touchdowns against Carolina yesterday. That showed you fully capable of getting 15 to 20 carries a game, right? We know he can catch the ball a little bit out of the backfield. He's not super adept at that. But I think for Zach Charbonnet, he's helped his own case to become the feature back for Seattle next year and to say to them, hey, I know you like Kenneth Walker, but I can do this. And if you're willing to let Kenneth Walker go, I can be the starting back. I can be the bell cow that this offense needs. Prove that in spades yesterday against the Panthers.
Well, I'm going to move on to my stock down here in a second, but I'll give a bonus stock up just because we've highlighted every other member of the organization today in Seattle. Clint Kubiak. Guy's going to get a head coaching job this offseason. Clint Kubiak, son of you know, the other NFL coach. Is it Gary Kubiak?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Texans coach, eventually was on the Broncos. Yeah, Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator for Seattle. I fully expect him to take a head coaching job this offseason. My stock down's got to go to Pete Carroll. And not just the Raiders, because they've been in a flat line for so long, especially this season. What confidence do you have in Pete Carroll to nurture and develop a young quarterback at this point in his career, which presumably the Raiders will if they can out-tank the Chiefs this weekend and secure that number one pick? I think even if they pick second, they're probably coming away with either Mendoza or Moore, but you get my point. And from Pete Carroll's perspective, why would you want to stick around? I mean, this thing is so far from getting back on the tracks, and he was a 2 or 3 year project anyway, wasn't he? So my stock down is Pete Carroll's future in Vegas.
Yeah, he's 74 years old, and you're staring down the barrel of 2-15. You know, not a year I expected to see. You know, bringing in Geno Smith, drafting Ashton Jeanty, they did a little bit in the wide receiver room, and then it all blew up in their faces. I thought I had them finishing third in the division. I had the Chargers finishing last. Absolutely did not happen. Not even slightly. Was that what happened?
500 team as well. I did. And so, if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm taking the family to the beach, right? Yeah. I'm going to grandkids' plays and sports games. I'm not sticking around to see this through in Vegas.
He's going to be 75 in like week 3 of next year. And you're exactly right. If it's Mendoza, if it's Dante Moore, whoever, is Pete Carroll going to be around for 3 or 4 more years to try to keep this thing and really develop whoever this quarterback is, this franchise quarterback for the Raiders is going to be, and they hope, and then what? Watch some other guy reap the benefits of what he's helped?
Exactly. And they have a couple of nice weapons, young weapons in Bowers and Jeanty. No offensive line, no wide receivers, a defense where your anchor, your captain, seems like he wants out. He's doing everything but saying, I'm requesting a trade. Like, there's just, let's talk about holes on a roster.
Yeah.
The Raiders are so far from being competitive. So I do not see a world in which Pete Carroll's back next season.
Let me parry the last two things you said together. You praised Clint Kubiak and said he's going to be a head coach next year. Raiders either fire Pete Carroll or tell him, you know, let him walk, whatever, and bring in Clint Kubiak, a young offensive-minded head coach who's hungry, who wants to develop a quarterback. Pair him with a Mendoza or a Dante Moore and see where it takes you. Because let's be completely honest, it can't get worse. I mean, I guess it could, 1-16 or 0-17, but dear God, not
it
much
feels
worse.
Like that. It feels like that's what they're currently doing.
Yeah,
I don't think it can get much worse.
A little bit. And then my stock down for this week is the present and future, as well as obviously the past, of the Detroit Lions. What happened? What is happening to Detroit? I don't understand. I look at the numbers and it just doesn't add up in my brain. Like, Jared Goff has 4,200 passing yards, 33 touchdowns to only 7 picks. Jahmyr Gibbs has 1,100 yards rushing and 13 touchdowns. David Montgomery's pitched in another near 700 yards on the ground and 8 rushing touchdowns. You've got 2,000-yard receivers in Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. I know that Sam Laporta's been banged up. I know that that defense is super, completely, undeniably banged up. But Jack Campbell has emerged as a top-5 Mike backer in the NFL this season. 165 tackles, 5 sacks. He's been absolutely ridiculous. It's just, even with all the injuries, I didn't expect this to be a team that would finish below 500.
Hey, Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. And Logan, are we ready to talk about Dan Campbell? Are we ready? Because the first year he got a pass, the second year they were a cute story, they rallied and finished 500, and then since they've been Super Bowl favorites the last 3 years, each of the last 3 years we have leading by 17 in the NFC Championship, collapse, get smoked by the Commanders at home in the playoffs, and we blame injuries, and now missing the playoffs, and again we're blaming injuries. So, I mean, 3 substantial failures in 3 consecutive years for this organization. I think Lion fans are going to prefer the stability because it's been a lot worse there. So I don't think he's getting fired this offseason. But are we ready to talk about him?
I think that there's definitely a conversation to be had because they themselves, the Detroit Lions, have some conversations that they've got to get sorted out this offseason. Al-Quaydon Muhammad is going to be a free agent. Roy Lopez is going to be a free agent. Amik Roberts, Khalif Raymond, Alex Anzalone, DJ Reader is going to be a free agent. Rocky Sin is another guy who's going to be a free agent this offseason. Zach Cunningham, Kyle Allen, you know, I mean, he's the backup, so it's not like that matters. But they really kind of went all in on this stuff. And I mean, it didn't work this year. If you stay healthy and you retain some guys, maybe you've got one more year at your disposal. But in 2027, things are going to hit the fan. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be he's got a club option, but he could be a free agent. Do they really want to pay him, you know, $20 million in value for that fifth year option? Jack Campbell has a fifth year option. Sam Laporta, Brian Branch are both going to be free agents in 2027. The window of not having to pay a bunch of bad guy, a bunch of big name guys, is slowly collapsing on itself. And you're going to have to put up or shut up sooner or later, and you completely missed the window this year. I'm with you. You know, love the aggressiveness of Dan Campbell and the bite the kneecaps off and the going forward on fourth downs. All that stuff is fun and cutesy when it's working, but it's not. The fourth down attempts have really become a huge hindrance on you in the last year and a half plus. I'm with you. I think that a conversation needs to be had, no question. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll get into some what's trending on the other side of the break here. Cody and Gold, Logan Weber, and Nathan Williams filling in for the guys here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. One, we don't have a ton of detail on it just yet. Things have begun to come out maybe in the last hour and a half or so. But Anthony Joshua, former heavyweight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Champion of the world, a Nigerian-British boxer, was injured in a car crash in Nigeria earlier. I don't know if it was earlier today or if it was even last night. They said 11 a.m. local time. So it was earlier. It was late morning today. He suffered minor injuries, they say. He was traveling in the back of a Lexus SUV when the vehicle was involved in a collision. The two passengers in the other vehicle lost their lives at the scene. I'm not exactly sure if that means two people that were in his vehicle or in the opposite vehicle. No, they hit a stationary truck that was parked along the road. It has not been confirmed which vehicle the two people killed were in, but Anthony Joshua, former heavyweight boxing champion of the world, received minor injuries in a car crash that killed two in Nigeria.
Yeah, obviously not what we want to lead off what's trending here, and don't know much about the situation and what unfolded, but do know people have lost their lives and have been hurt. So obviously a very sad situation, and you know your thoughts go out to everyone involved. Never want to see that.
That is awful, man. Absolutely terrible. He's been in Africa, which is his more or less his home country, as he likes to call it, after he beat Jake Paul in that Netflix boxing fight in Miami 9 days ago. Number two, sounds like Marcus Freeman is not going anywhere. He has signed a new deal at Notre Dame. Of course, with it being a private institution, we don't have details. We don't have figures on that. He received a quote-unquote enhanced contract from the university. He was long considered a candidate for vacancies in the NFL like the New York Giants and others, but sounds like he is going to be sticking around with the Fighting Irish. Number three, speaking of Notre Dame, how about Lincoln Riley? He's going after him a little bit, telling Notre Dame that they were the ones that failed to follow through on the pledge to play the Trojans anytime, anywhere. He spoke earlier today in San Antonio ahead of the team's appearance, the USC's appearance in the Alamo Bowl, said that it was Notre Dame's fault that this thing is no longer taking place. We took Notre Dame at their word, quote unquote, that they would play us anytime and anywhere. That proposal was rejected. Not only was it rejected, 5 minutes after we got the call, it was announced that they had scheduled BYU. Lincoln Riley doesn't like what Notre Dame's pulling right now.
And good for him. And I'm not the biggest Lincoln Riley fan in the world, but I'm glad people are calling out Notre Dame for all of this nonsense that's come to a head in the last month. I kind of thought Freeman was going to take an NFL job. I think he would have been considered for one had he wanted it. Notre Dame's got to retain their crybaby in chief, though, so I'm sure they gave him a pretty penny to stay there in Notre Dame and continue that campaign of us against the world, which just doesn't exist.
Dude, it's so disappointing for me because I liked Marcus Freeman. Like, I really did. His first couple of years at Notre Dame, taking that team to a national championship game, and after all the hoopla from Brian Kelly about, like, you can't win a national championship at Notre Dame today, and Marcus Freeman's like, hold my beer, I'm going to take us all the way to the Natty, and we're gonna lose to a really good Ohio State team. And then for him to just completely dismantle that in a year's time by being, we only lost to Miami by X amount of points. How come they got in the field and we didn't? And, our losses were really good. Our wins weren't, but our losses were really good. And then we're not going to play in a bowl game. We're not going to do this. And Notre Dame Twitter is just an absolute cesspool.
It's a disgrace. Ugh. I mean, don't join a conference. Don't win your games.
Yeah.
And don't hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, don't blame yourself. Blame everybody else's fault.
Now we're crying about scheduling. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, just lay off the campaign for a little while. We got the AD holding press conferences about other conferences. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you're arguing that the ACC doesn't deserve to get a team into the 12-team playoff. Meanwhile, that's what your schedule is. You may not be in the ACC, but you play more or less an ACC conference. You play seven games against the ACC, man.
Well,
if you don't think that their conference is talented enough to get in, you beating them should have no bearing on you being able to get in.
Exactly. Yeah. Our only loss is to an ACC team. Can't then coexist with the argument of the ACC isn't good enough.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. And then number four on what's trending. Yeah, this one isn't sports related. Are you a Stranger Things guy, Nathan?
I'm not, but I've got so many family and friends that are just locked in right now.
It's good. It's good. I got caught up yesterday. The part two of season five came out. They released the first four episodes and back like right around Thanksgiving. And then three episodes came out around Christmas. The eighth and final episode of the show comes out New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. And I'm jacked about it, man. I really do. I'm a huge fan of Stranger Things. I tried to get my wife into it. She wasn't quite as receptive as I am to it. It actually took me a while to get into Stranger Things.
I took the opposite route. I was into season one, started season two. It's one of those shows that it took so long between production that I lost interest year over year. Yeah, isn't that last episode like over 2 hours though? That's coming up on New Year's Eve. Like, I know it's a huge deal
it
for
is
fans
a
of the show.
Massive, massive episode. Yeah, comes out on December 31st. Trying to see what the runtime on it is. Yeah, it's more or less a feature film at this point. Looking at it, it doesn't give me a runtime. Let me see if I can find something on it really quick. I think it's probably at least like an hour and 20 minutes. 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Yeah, that's
oh
wild.
My God. That's a movie. That's insanity. It's the longest episode of the season and a feature-length finale for the entire series. Yes, that we know. That's got to be the longest series finale for a television show ever. That's ludicrous, man. But honestly, I'm here for it. I really am. I'm going to be glued to my television screen. What is the exact time that this thing is going to drop? Because I know it's New Year's Eve, but is it like 11 o'clock on New Year's Eve where you're like, no, I got to get ready for the new year. So like, I'll watch it on New Year's Day. I really would urge anybody. Oh, it's going to release at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So 7 o'clock Central. So you could watch it prior to your New Year's Eve festivities, if that's what you chose to do. It's funny. I actually got into the show because of my parents. Like it's one of those things that like, it feels like a show that is very much geared towards, especially the earlier seasons, like kids that were like around my age, like high school, college age kids when it first came out. But my parents were like in it from the word go, right? I think what allows this show to pull from so many different age groups and groups of people is because it's set in the 80s, right? So like my parents, who are 80s, 70s and 80s kids, like they really like it because it reminds them of like when they were kids, right? The shopping malls and the music and the biking around town stuff that we don't necessarily, like people our age, like we don't necessarily have a great understanding of that. You know, like the mall thing, I get it. You know, like Independence Mall and places like that we grew up going to. But I don't know. It's just a very different environment being a kid in like the 2010s and the 2000s. And I mean, for kids in the 2020s than it was in the 80s. So like our parents really, my parents specifically really got into it because it reminded them of when they were kids. But then we were kids ourselves and watching children do the things that they were doing. I really do seem to like it. Apparently, we got some people in the text line that are into it as well. Volume two of the season of Stranger Things is so underwhelming. Welcome to Derry was better. Yeah, I didn't watch Welcome to Derry. I admittedly, I do not like horror movies at all. I do not do horror. I hate Halloween. It's just who I am. I do not like it in the slightest. So I couldn't compare the two. I don't necessarily disagree that it's been a little bit underwhelming. I really enjoyed it. I mean, there were some twists and turns along the way. You know, with everything that was going on with Max, and that's kind of crazy, you know, that whole thing, I really seemed to enjoy that. I feel like volume two was just supposed to be a lead up to volume three. Thrilled that nobody died. Sorry if I'm announcing spoilers for you. But I'm so pumped for this series finale to come out. Since you watched Stranger Things, any predictions on deaths? I think it's only 11 that dies. Oh, predictions on deaths is hard. Yeah, I think 11 probably dies just because of, you know, what we've found out through the exotic matter and the bridge and all that sort of stuff. I think for her sake, it probably makes the most sense. For Mike's sake, for the sake of everybody else in the friend group, I think it makes sense. Oh, on top, outside of eight is probably going to die too. In fact, I think she might actually be a bad guy and we just don't know it yet. Vecna is obviously going to die. Among the friend group, I hope nobody inside the friend group dies. I really do. Mike, Will, Lucas, Max, Dustin, I think they're all okay. I don't think Steve's going anywhere. I could potentially see a scenario where if 11 dies, then Hopper dies as well, right? You sort of become this de facto father to her a little bit. But God, I feel like I am getting way too in the weeds right now. I can look across the glass separating Nathan and I and see that I have lost him completely. So Steve the Hare Harrington is going to die in front of Dustin. How dare you? Don't put that on him. Don't put that on Dustin. Don't you dare do that. He already watched Eddie die. No. No, he can't watch Eddie die and watch Steve die. Please don't. Please don't do it. Somebody in the text. In your opinion, would you take all of next season to draft Jeremiah Smith in 2027? I love Jeremiah Smith. I absolutely love Jeremiah Smith as a prospect. I have said it before on this station, and I will say it again. I think Jeremiah Smith will become the first wide receiver taken number one overall since Keyshawn. First, it'll be the first time in 30 years. That's how good a talent Jeremiah Smith is. But no. No, you don't take off next season in order to draft Jeremiah Smith. You don't throw away another year of Patrick Mahomes in the hopes of getting a number one overall pick to get Jeremiah Smith. Absolutely not. I still think that Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy can be still, I think they can be really good football players. I still have belief in those guys. I do. It's a matter of health. It's a matter of development. And it's a matter of using those guys in the right settings. Rashee Rice on screen plays, I don't think is the move. Short to intermediate routes. Xavier Worthy should not just be a straight line burner. You use Xavier Worthy in the intermediate parts of the field. Deep posts, deep corners, those sorts of things. Maybe a dig route every once in a while in that short field to see if he can utilize his speed to beat guys. It doesn't just have to be these exotic corner posts and seam routes to do anything of that magnitude. I love Jeremiah Smith, but I still have some belief in what the Chiefs have at wide receiver in the future that, you know, justifying tanking another year to try to get Jeremiah Smith, in my view, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, you don't waste another year of Mahomes and Reed. I don't care who the prospect is. I think you only do that no matter who you are, if it's for a quarterback, first of all. I think you and I might disagree as to the long-term viability of this wide receiver room. I think there's enough talent there in this draft and, look, in free agency as well to supplement maybe the back end of that wide receiver room if that's the way they choose to go. Of course, we've talked at length about edge versus receiver versus running back. I could definitely be sold on a receiver at the back end of the top 10 here in this draft, but I do not think there is a receiver that has ever played this game that would justify taking another season to Patrick Mahomes to draft them next season. No chance.
Mm-mm. Not in my view. I really don't. As we close things out here, one thing we didn't have a chance to really get into the weeds of much earlier today was the conversation about Matt Nagy, right? His contract is set to expire at the end of the season. That's something that wasn't really discussed until maybe the last couple of weeks. doesn't seem to me like they're going to bring him back. If they were going to, they'd have done it already. They'd have given him the extension after the first Super Bowl win that he had, or even the second, or even after you get to a third Super Bowl last year. It seems like both parties are leaning, you know, it seems like both parties are like, yeah, we're going to go our separate ways here and see what happens. So the question becomes, who are some of the guys you're looking to bring in? You know, I said guys like Mike Kafka. You threw out Cliff Kingsbury. I like that idea. It's just, do we want to go down the road of another Andy Reid coaching tree product? Do we want to go down the road of, oh, somebody who has a relationship with Mahomes previously, right? I'd like it to be an outside guy. I just don't know who that is. Kingsbury is somewhat of an outside guy, outside of the relationship he has with Mahomes. I'm just not... I just don't know who it is off the top of my head. Like, there's not a name that jumps out to me that I'm like, oh yeah, that's absolutely who should be the next OC of the Chiefs. Maybe Mike McDaniels, but I don't think Miami's going to fire him. I don't. Something in the text line, wasn't Calvin Johnson a number one overall pick? No, he was the number two overall pick in 07. I believe Matt Ryan was the top pick in that draft. That'll do it for my producer, Nathan Williams. I'm Logan Weber. We'll be back tomorrow here on Cody and Gold, filling in for the guys, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.